Let's get started. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Ches. We're going to discuss two basic topics in today's daf. First of all, the Mishnah on Kuf Chav Rav Beis had given a whole list of different types of foods that you are allowed to move out of the way or are not allowed to move out of the way based on whether they are muktzah or not. So we're going to discuss a variety of foods that may be muktzah and what the Chiddush is in teaching us that these items are or are not muktzah. And we're also going to discuss whether bundles of hay and straw are muktzah and whether different types of raw meat are muktzah. That's topic number one. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis begins a discussion of relaxing certain muktzah restrictions in the interest of alleviating the suffering of animals and the permissible way to move animals towards safety. And the truth is then on the second Mishnah we're going to get into birthing animals and people on Shabbos and Yantiv. So those are it's three topics, not two topics. So let's begin. We are at the second wide line on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, second very wide line. So we begin the list in the Mishnah where the Mishnah had mentioned which items are not muktzah first, and then we're going to get into the items that the Mishnah mentioned are muktzah. So first, Mifanin Truma Tahora, we said that you are allowed to move Truma Tahora out of the way because Truma Tahora is not muktzah. Says Mar Pshita, of course it's not muktzah. Why would it be muktzah? It's Truma Tahora, could be eaten by a Kohen, so it's food. Says Mar Lotzricha Demancha Biad Yisrael. Now we're talking about Truma Tahora that a Yisrael has in his possession. Mal Detem Kivin Delo Chazile Aser, I might have thought that since the Yisrael can't eat it, it's not roi for him for anything, so therefore it should be muktza and aser. That's why it comes to tell me that since it is roi for somebody to eat, it's roi for a kohen to eat, so it's not going to be muktza. Frek Tosel Sakasha on the top. Avagav Damar Bishili Kira, the big day aniyim la ashirim lo. So Tos is asking a question that we said in Perikira that big day aniyim are not considered to be ra'oi la ashirim. Why don't we say the same svara that big day aniyim are ra'oi for somebody and therefore that should take away their muktzah status over here as well? Just like we say over here that even though the truma is not ra'oi for the Yisrael, it's ra'oi for somebody. It's ra'oi for the kohen and that takes away its muktzah status. Says Tosos hachalukuliyal mechazia eli isuruhu deravi alei. When it comes to the truma Torah, it's ra'oi for everybody. It's just that there's an iser for Yisrael, meaning it's food and it's edible, it's physically ra'oi for everybody. It's just that there is an iser. Aval hasam lo chazu machmas kriyusa. But over there, when we talk about big day aniyim, it's not ra'oi for ashirim in the sense that it's qualitatively, physically, qualitatively bad for ashirim. It's just beneath them to use such a thing. So that's the difference between our case and that Gemara. Says the Gemara further now, Udemai. So we mentioned Demai is also not muktzah. So frak the Gemara, why not? Demai, halo chazile. What are you going to do with Demai? You can't do anything with it. You have to take off maestros in order to be able to eat. You're not allowed to take off maestros on Shabbos because you're not allowed to be misake. So what could you possibly do with Demai? Says Gemara, kiven di bayim mafkele lenichsei vava'ani v'chazilei hashtanami chazilei. You can do something with Demai because if a person wanted, they could be mafkir all of their nechasim, they could be mafkir all of their possessions, and then they would be allowed to eat Demai because an ani is allowed to eat Demai. So even if a person is not mafkir's nechasim, we don't consider it to be muktza. Ditnan, where do we find that an ani is allowed to eat Demai? Machilin asananim Demai v'sachsanya Demai. Both poor people and guests can be fed Demai. Vamra Funa Tana Beishamay Omrim Ein Machlin Asaniyim Demai Vesachsani Demai. Beishamay says you're not allowed to feed Aniyim or guests Demai. Ubeisilom Machlin Asaniyim Demai Vesachsani Demai. But we pass like Beisilal that you are allowed to feed poor people and guests Demai. So the fact that you're able to be mafkir nechasim and become an ani, that makes Demai not muktzah. So the Meiri says what you see from here is that you're allowed to make something hefker on Shabbos because we're saying it's not muktzah since you could be mafkir all of your nechasim. Normally you're not allowed to make kinyanim on Shabbos, but hefker, says the Meiri, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And even though it says in Beitzah, Daflam Vavam Beis, Ein Makdishin, you're not allowed to be makdish something on Shabbos, says Ein Odome. Hekdish is more like a mecher. So this is a discussion. Does Hefker have the ability to transfer Rishos or only to give up Rishos? Does Hefker have the ability, for instance, when we say Hefker Beis Din Hefker, so does Beis Din have the Ktsos discussed, does Beis Din have the ability to make something no longer belong to Ruvein? That they could for sure do. and make it belong to Shimon also? Or do they just have the right to make it no longer belong to Reuven, and then Shimon is kona it on his own? But regular, that's a discussion about Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. Regular Hefker, Pashtos, is only just giving up Rishus. So that's a little different than a Mecher, where you're transferring Rishus to somebody else. Hektish is much more like a mecher. By Hefker, there's no Shinui Rishus, and even if someone else is kona it, that's his own kinyan, that's his own business. But the Miri asks, wait a second, if you're able to be mafkir nechassim on Shabbos, so why do we have to say that you could be mafkir all of your nechassim and then you'll be able to eat demai? There's a simpler way. Why aren't we just mafkir the demai? You could be mafkir the demai and then you'll be able to eat the demai, because the halacha is hefker is not chayiv maisros. The produce of hefker is not chayiv maisros. So just be mafkir the demai and then we'll be potter from maisr. So he explains that no, that when you're mafkir the fact that hefker is potter from maisros, that's only before the chiyuv sets in. Once it becomes tevel and it's under someone's ownership, then being mafkir after the fact, after it's already become tevel, you're already finished all the malacha of getting the food ready, so then it's too late, and then the chiyuv remains even after you're mafkirit. The Tshuva Sholem Meshev Madura Vav Simul Chafalv says that if you're mafkir for an iser, let's say a person is mafkir chametz so he doesn't violate Bal Yirah, he says that anyway is going to be misakein, meaning that anyway is going to be a violation. It's the same iser of being mafkir Shmos Meisros in the first place, because you're being misakein the food. Now you're making it, you're fixing something. So that would explain also, you can't just be mafkir the demai, because then you're being misakein, meaning even if you hold that being mafkir the demai would work and would take away the chiv maestros, it would be a problem of being misakein the demai, which is the same problem of taking maestros in the first place from the demai. So those are the two possibilities of why we don't just suggest to be mafkir the demai, and instead we suggest to be mafkir all of one's nechassim. The fact that one can be mafkir all of his nechassim makes that it's not mukta. Vayter in the Gemara, Maaser Rishon Shnitla Trumaso. We said Maaser Rishon that had Truma taken from it, that had the Trumas Maaser taken from it. The halacha is that you give 10% to the Levi, that's Maaser Rishon, but the Levi then has to give 10% of that as Trumas Maaser to the Kohen. Once he does that, the Maaser Rishon becomes Mutar Bachila for anybody. It's owned by the Levi. Dine Mamanis, it belongs to the Levi. But in terms of Yerudea, in terms of halacha, who's allowed to eat it, unlike Truma, which can only be eaten by a Kohen, Maaser Rishon can be eaten by anybody. So again, says Mar Pshita, it's obviously not Mukta. What would be the problem? It's regular food. That's perfectly permissible for people to eat. So Lo Tzricha Shekdima B'Shibolim. Now the case is that you were Makdim B'Shibolim. You took it at an early stage. V'Natlei Menu Trumas Maaser, V'Lo Natlei Menu Truma Gedola. You took off Trumas Maaser before, and you never took Truma Gedola. So V'Chi Hadam Rabbi Yavoh, Amar Reish Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdima B'Shibolim, Patur Mitruma Gedola. If you have Maaser Rishon that you preempted and you took it before you ever took Truma, so it's Patur from Truma Gedola. There's no longer a Chiyuv to take Truma Gedola. Shenemar, Varimosim Menu Trumas Hashem, Maaser Min HaMaaser. And we darshan, Maaser Min HaMaaser, Amarti Lach, Velo Truma Gedola, Trumas Maaser Min HaMaaser. They have to take Maaser Min HaMaaser, not Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser Min HaMaaser. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abayi, Ihachi, Afilu Kdima V'Kri, Nami Liftar. So if that's the case, then even when it wasn't B'Shibolim, wasn't still in the stalks, you remarked in B'Kri when it was in the silo, it should also be Pater. Amalei Alecha Amarkra. Now that's what the Pasuk says. We call Mat Nosechem Tarimu. That we call Mat Nosechem Tarimu means that you always have to take Truma. What do you mean, always? It means even if Ikdimu B'Kri, you still have to take Truma. Umari Isa. How do I know that if it's B'Shibolim, then you don't have to take, if you're Makdim B'Shibolim, then you don't have to take Truma. If you're Makdim B'Kri, you do have to take Truma. How do I know that, where to draw the line? So Hayidgan V'Haylawidgan, there's a big difference between them. When it's Nismarech B'Kri, when you already had it in the silo and you already smoothed out the piles, so it already became Chayiv in Truma. So once it became Chayiv in Truma, taking Maaser Rishon first is not going to remove the Chayiv for Truma. But if you took it while it was still B'Shibolim, you took the Maaser Rishon while it was still B'Shibolim, so that was before the Chayiv Truma ever set in. If it was before the Chayiv Truma ever set in, so it's never going to be Chayiv in Truma. You have avoided the entire chiyuv of Truma. Okay, Maaser Sheni. The Mishnah went on to list Maaser Sheni as something that's also not Mukta. Maaser Sheni, that's Niftes, that's been redeemed. So says Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious? So says Gemara, Lo Tzricha, meaning if you redeemed it, it's no longer Maaser Sheni. Now it's just Chulin, it's regular food. What in the world would be the problem? problem with moving that. Why would anyone ever think that that's mutza? So l'tzricha shenasanes hakeren v'lo nasanes hachomesh. Now the case is you gave keren but not a chomesh. I mean the halacha is when you're podim ma'aser sheni, you always have to add an extra chomesh, an extra fifth, which it's a chomesh milavar, so it's what we call 25%. So if you have $100 worth of ma'aser sheni and you want to redeem it for money because you don't want to schlep all that $100 worth of food up to Yerushalayim, it's much easier to bring cash in your pocket and just use that cash to buy food when you're in Yerushalayim, so you could exchange that $100 ma'aser sheni for $125 cash, and the $125 cash you bring to Yerushalayim, you'll spend it on food and eat that there. But the food now is no longer your original ma'aser sheni, is no longer ma'aser sheni. So what if you only exchanged it for $100? You didn't exchange it for $125. So v'hakamash mandein chomesh ma'akev. So it's teaching us that that extra chomesh is not ma'akev. The pidyon is still chal. The ma'aser sheni food is still no longer ma'aser sheni when you change it for money, even if you change it for an equal amount without adding the extra 25%. Turmas hayavesh, dried turmas beans, some type of food. So dafka yavesh avalach lo. Sounds like only if it's dry, but if it's moist, then it's a problem. It's going to be muktza. My taima, why? What's the issue over here? Kiven de marir lo achla. Since it's very bitter, a person would not eat it. Avalo es hatevel. Then the Mishnah went on the list of things that you're not allowed to move because they are muktza. Types of foods that are considered to be muktza. So tevel was on the top of the list. Before we even get to what the Gemara says, there's a tosos here that relates to just that phrase, avaloa satevel. Tos says, v'adam rabbi perakira, tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos, shem avar v'tikna musukan. Didn't we say earlier in the Masechta that tevel is not considered muktza? It's considered muchan, and if you're masake in tevel on Shabbos, even though you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to take trumas and maestros on Shabbos, but if you do, it's musukan and it works, and therefore the tevel is not muktza because it could theoretically become ra'oi to eat on Shabbos. That's just to say that if tevel lands on something, that kli that it lands on does not become, is not a violation of bitul kli meichanu. If you put a kli to catch tevel, it's not a violation of bitul kli meichanu, of making that kli immobilized for the rest of Shabbos, in the sense that you're not going to be able to move it because it's now holding muktza. But in terms of actually being metaltel tevel, we're going to be a little more machmir. So even though these are two different issues in the world of muktza, bitul kli meichanu, and actually being metaltel the muktza, you see direct tiltul of muktza, Tosa says, is much more chamur than indirectly having something catch the muktza and thereby being mevatel the kli that catches the muktza. So again, we're on the top line, kuf chav chesam and aleph, avalo es hatevel. So says Mar Pshita, of course lo es hatevel. Tevel, of course, is muktza. What in the world would you use tevel for on Shabbos? Lo tzricha betevel tavel midrabanan. Shezar No, the case is, even though it's only tevel midrabanan, it's not something that's even chayiv in shumus maestros min hatorah. For instance, it's something that's planted in a flower pot that does not have a hole at the bottom. So since it's not growing directly in the ground, so it's not chayiv in shumus maestros on a daraisa level. Still, we're going to consider it to be muktza on Shabbos. Shar Melech in Hilchos Shvisas Asar raises the question, according to the Rashba and the Ran on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, that an Isid Rabbanon you're allowed to give to Ketanim, so this also should be ra'i for Ketanim, and that should take away its muktza status. Meaning, if we hold that the Isir of Los Achilim, there's a Sugi Nivamus Kuf Yudalit, that there's an Isir to give Isir to Kohanim, to Ketanim rather. Kohanim also, but there's an issur to give, you're not allowed to give something aser to ketanim. In general, whenever you feed a child something that's not kosher, you are messing around with three potential problems. Number one, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, that you're supposed to be mechanech a child, so to give a child an issur is certainly shirking our responsibilities in chinuch. Number two, you have the issur of los achilim, which is the sugyam yevamos kuf yadal, that there is a direct issur to give non-kosher to a child. And number three, you have the issue of timtum alev, that when someone eats something not kosher, we assume it has a negative effect on their neshama in some way. Now, it's very hard to quantify that and very hard to figure out. Poskim, there's a big big range in Poskim in terms of how seriously we take Timtum HaLev, in terms of, is it more chamor than regular halacha? Is it a consideration, but a little less chamor than regular Isurim? But Lo Sachilim is one of the issues that has to be dealt with, and the sheet of many Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran, is that there's no Isur of Lo Sachilim when you're giving an Isur to Rabbanan to a child. So I asked the Shar HaMelech, why don't we say over here that the Tevel Tavel Midrabbanan is not going to be Muktzah, because you could always give it to a kid. If you give it to a kid, it's roi for somebody to eat. So he's metarit the tevel, since you could use it tomorrow when you're masaking it, mistama, you have no intention to use it on Shabbos, and you wouldn't give it to a child. It's not about whether it's mutter, it's about no one would, because you could just have it in its normal state when it's perfectly fine by being masaking it on Motzai Shabbos. In the Tshuva's Beis Ephraim, Simon Samach Beis, he writes, based on the Rashba in the Tshuva, that when that yes, it's true you're allowed to feed an issur d'rabbanan to a child, but that's only when there's some sort of tzorech for the child. So it could be when you have other payrolls, there's no tzorech for the child, and mainly you're going to make a muktzah, you're going to be maksa midaito, that you have no intention whatsoever to use it. And third approach is the Yad David writes in the name of the Chikrei Lev, that Tevel is an Isser ba'atzmo. There's aside from the Isser of Tevel itself, there's also an Isser of Gezel Matnos Kuhuna. So meaning, yes, there's no Isser of feeding Tevel midrabbanan to a child in terms of the Yoredeya element of it, in terms of Kashrus, in terms of that issue, but in terms of Choshen Mishpat, that you're stealing Truma that belongs to a Kohen, you're stealing Maaser Rishon that belongs to a Levi. Remember I mentioned before that Truma, only Kohen's allowed to eat. Maaser Rishon, Levi, and Yisrael, anybody's allowed to eat. So then what's the din of Maaser Rishon? The din is a din imamnus. So Truma has Tzvei dinim. When you give Truma to a Kohen, it's the mamon of Shevet Kuhuna, plus it's also halacha that that Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. There's Isser v'heter and there's mamon. So in Achinami, when you feed a tevel d'rabbanan to a child, you don't have the Isser v'heter problem, but the dini mamonis problem you certainly still have when you feed it to a child. Okay, further in the Gemara now. So velo meiser rishon, and we said also meiser rishon that you did not take trumas meiser from is also muktzah. So it says mar pshita, of course it's muktzah. It's tevel. You haven't taken meiser rishon from it. You haven't taken truma's meiser from it. So lo tzricha shekdimu b'krisha, not the menu meiser, velo not the menu truma gedola. So no, but the case is where you were makdim b'kri and you took ma'aser rishon without taking truma gedola, and that's the issue. So I might have thought like Rav Papa said to Abaye before, so kamash mulon, like Abaye said back to Rav Papa, meaning that whole conversation that we just had on the bottom of the previous Amud, the whole conversation between Abaye and Rav Papa in terms of three lines from the bottom, where Rav Papa said to Abaye, "Afilu hikdimu b'kri nami liftar." So he said, "No, if you're makdim b'kri, that's when you're still chayiv in the truma." So I might have thought that it's pater, just like when you're makdim b'shibolim, it's pater. When you're makdim b'kri, it's also pater. So kamash malon that no, it's chayiv when you're makdim b'kri. The lowest Meiser Sheni, and also Meiser Sheni that you have not redeemed, is also Muktzah. So Pshita, of course, there's nothing you could do with the Meiser Sheni, because you can only eat it in Yerushalayim, and you're not in Yerushalayim. So Lo Tzricha Diniftu V'Lo Niftu Kil Chasad. Now the case is, you did redeem the Meiser Sheni, you just didn't do it right. Meiser Shepeto Al Gabe Asimon, how do you redeem Meiser Sheni wrong? When you are poda the Meiser Sheni on an Asimon, on a coin that doesn't have a tzura, doesn't have any image on the coin. Remember in Eretz Yisrael they used to have those for telephones, for payphones, there used to be something called the payphone. And they used to have, before the cards, they used to have the Asimon that you would put into the to the payphones, so they would call it an Asimon because it was a token that didn't have any tzura on it. It just had like this line in the middle of it. It didn't have any tzura on it. So that's the that's an Asimon. Asimon, something that doesn't have a tzura on it, the halacha is you're not allowed to be pulled the Meiser Sheni on a coin that doesn't have a tzura. How do I know that? Rachman Amar, Vitzarta Kesef Yadecha. Dover Sheesh Potzura. We learn that it's got to be something that has a tzura from the usage of that terminology, Vitzarta. And how could you be poda hektish in a way that doesn't work. Hektish hechilo gabekarko. The Rachmana Amar v'nasna kesef akamlo. Hektish also you could be poda hektish in a way that doesn't work. If you were poda it on karka instead of exchanging it for cash or for something else, you were poda it on karka. And the halacha is pasuk says v'nasna kesef akamlo. So we see that it's got to be something like kesef, that it's got to be metaltal and it can't be karka that you poda your hektish on. Where is this pasuk of v'nasna kesef v'kamlo? So says Tosfos. Ain ha pasuk ein. There is no pasuk that says v'nasna kesef v'kamlo. That is a misquote of the pasuk. Elo v'yosef chamishes kesef erkecha alav v'kamlo. It skips like half the words in the pasuk. It's a paraphrase of the pasuk. Why does the Gemara misquote the pasuk? So some places Tosfos writes. I think in Maseches Pesachim Tosfos writes. Yeah, not all the Tanoim and Amoraim were. I think Amoraim. I don't know if he accuses Tanoim of this. Not all the Amoraim were such bekiyim in the pesukim. They didn't always know all the pesukim, which is a startling accusation. But over here Tosfos says no. It's not that they didn't know this pasuk. V'derech hashas lekatzer v'lomer b'lashon acher. That it's normal to paraphrase a pasuk. B'lashon acher katzer ki yidu perek adar, and he gives examples. Rabbi Chanina b'Yoma deratach lamatzli shnemer bitzar al yora. There's no pasuk bitzar al yora, but still uperek haroa shnemer kolach lomos holchem acharapeh. Also, no pasuk. We're quoting things that aren't really psukim. In the Akdama to the Beis Halevi, he says that you find sometimes psukim in a shinui lashon in the Gemara. He says he suspects that the reason they changed the lashonos of the psukim is that there is a halacha that dvarim shebichsav yatarashay lomer balpeh. So chances are, whenever they darshan psukim, they always took out a chumash and opened it up to read the pasuk. What if they didn't have a chumash available to them? Then how did they darshan the pesukim? How did they learn things from the pesukim? How did they say it over? So probably when they didn't have a chumash available to them, that's when they misquoted the pasuk. That's when they dafka paraphrased it, didn't say the pasuk as is, because it would be a violation of Dvar Mishabuchsav, Yatarash Elom Balpeh. That's the Beis Halevi suggestion. But Tosfos says more substantively over here, V'kashalari, name a kesef dafka. Wait a second. If you're going to say that it's this pasuk, that it's got to be kesef, so why don't we say that it's only kesef? Who says that you could be poda hektish on anything but money, anything but cash? We're just saying in the Gemara you're not allowed to be poda on karka, but it sounds like anything not karka you're allowed to be poda on. But the pasuk says kesef. V'chitem the shavu kesef kesef. And if you're going to say, well, shavu kesef is always like kesef, but when it comes to Nezikin, we need a special drush on the pasuk to tell me that shava kesef counts like kesef. We don't normally assume shava kesef is like kesef. And also, if shava kesef is the same as kesef, well, then what's wrong with karka? Karka is also worth money, so that should also be shava kesef. So why don't we assume that kesef means only kesef? So it says, tells us there's some sort of drasha. V'omri d'mechal prat nafka. It's learned out from a drasha. There has to be a klal prat that it's not just the word kesef. If it was just the word kesef, it would mean you can only use kesef to be poda hegdish. There's a klal prat that is more inclusive and tells me more than just kesef. V'loa saluf. So we said, you're not allowed to be metalta luf, the Mishnah had said. So the Mishnah, now we got into not just halachic foods, but the different types of food physically. V'loas haluf, v'loas hachardal. And remember we said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that no, you're allowed to be metalta luf because it's machal orvin, because ravens eat it. Daniel Hirschman pointed out this is a dafyomi coincidence that we talk about the ravens this week. Okay, for those football fans out there. So v'loas haluf. So this is a machlokas whether you're allowed to be metalta luf. So Tanu Rabbanan, metalta nesachatz of mneshu machal tzviim. You're allowed to be metaltel chatzav, some type of food, because that's food for deer. V'asachadom leshu machal yonim. You're allowed to be metaltel mustard, because that's food for doves. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer af metaltel shivri zuchuchas, mneshu machal na'amios. You're even allowed to be metaltel broken pieces of glass, because that's ostrich food. And since it's roi for some animal to eat, even though most people don't have ostriches in their backyard, since it's roi for somebody to eat, so for some animal to eat, that's what makes it not muktzah. When the Shulchan Aruch says that something is nifsal me'achilas kelev, there's a suffix in achronim. When we say something is nifsal me'achilas kelev in Simon Tuf Mem Beis, in Hilchos Pesach that it's not going to be a problem of chametz. Is that tafka kelev, or it has to be nifsal me'achilas kol behema v'chaya, that no animal would eat it? Maybe a dog has different standards than other animals. So in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kashuk Lover Gon, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, brings a raya from our Gemara that it's kelev dafka, because otherwise are broken shards of glass not muktzah? Broken shards of glass broken shards of glass considered roi la'achila is kelev. I mean, broken shards of glass obviously aren't, and yet we still say that we would never consider it a food, and even though it's roi for somebody to eat, because we just said it's roi for ostriches. Ostriches would eat it. So apparently you don't look at every, when we say nifsal me'achila is kelev, we mean kelev dafka. Amle Rabbi Nasan elamayata chavilas morosi taltel meishu machal apilin. So you should be allowed to be metaltel bundles of zmuros, because that's something that elephants eat it, so you should be allowed to be metaltel it. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara talks about how could one make a kinyan on an elephant? If you want to be kona an elephant, so normally by an animal, you're kona either by lifting a small animal up, by hagbah, or by meshicha, by pulling it. Good luck. How in the world are you going to pull or lift an elephant? So how does one make a kinyan on an elephant? So Gemara says, bechavile zmuros. You use chavile zmuros. So Rashi says, chavile zmuros, it means that you put these chavile zmuros on the ground, and the elephant steps on them. So since you put the thing that the elephant stepped on, so you kona with a kinyan agba in that way, the chavile zmuros. Tulsa says, why chavile zmuros? Why don't you just say platforms or anything? Just put anything down, stones or wood. Why dafka chavile zmuros? Says no. What do we know about chavile zmuros? That it's machol apilin, that it's food for an elephant. It's not that you put it under their feet. It's that you wave chavile zmuros and the elephant jumps toward the chavile zmuros. And by making the elephant jump, in that way, a person is kona the elephant with a kinyan hagba. So anyway, so back in the Gemara, so alameata chavile zmuros should not be muktzah because it's machol for an elephant. Rav Shmuel would say ostrich. Are very common. Elephants you don't find so much. Amar Amemar Vuda Islan Leina Amios. Also, it's only, Amemar says, if you happen to have an ostrich, that's when it's not going to be Muksa. Amar Avashi La Amemar, El de Kamalir of Nasal Mashumil, Chavil Zmursi Talzim, Veshu Machal Apilin, E Islai Pilin Amai Lo. But wait a second, if the heter for the ostrich food is only if you have an ostrich, then why do we assume that the same wouldn't apply for an elephant? If you have an elephant, isn't the elephant food not Muksa to you because you have the elephant? So says the Gemara, Ella Ra'ui, Hachanami Ra'ui. It means that, you don't have to have the ostrich, just like the elephant is obviously talking about a case where you don't have the elephant. So it's just Ra'ui. So I'm Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, we find that a whole list of Tanaim that all hold on some level or another that Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim, that we treat all Jews like royalty for certain halachos. The Rush writes that whenever we say that Kulu Sviru Lahu, that it's all one Shita, it means that they all hold this way, but we don't paskin that way. And that's how the Ritva says as well. Meaning these are the Das Yachids that are out there that hold Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim, but we typically don't hold Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim. When we say Amru Davar Echad, says the Ritva, that's when it's a halacha. When we say Kulu Sviru Lahu, that's a Das Yachid. Because whenever it's Kulu Sviru Lahu, it means that Kulu Sviru Lahu is different than Amru Davar Echad in another important way. Kulu Sviru Lahu means they all hold of this concept to some level, to some extent, but they don't necessarily agree even with each other in terms of the application of this concept. Amru Davar Echad means they actually all agree with each other. So then it creates a consensus amongst all the people that are on a list of Amru Davar Echad. That's what the Ran writes in Sukkah as well. So Shar Mitzvah Ba'alachov here quotes from Chuvus Marimi Brona Sim Reish Mem Beis. We also don't paskin Kol Kvod Bas Melch Pnima. He says, just like we don't paskin that Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim, if we're not royalty, neither are our wives, right? Because we don't paskin Kol Kvod Bas Melch Pnima in the sense that the minig is that Nashim do go out to work. We allow women to work outside of the house. We talk about Maisi Adayim that a woman's going to make, that the Baal could say, Tzi Maisi Adecha B'mezonosecha. We do have such a concept. So apparently we don't hold Kol Kvud Bas Melach Pnima either. But anyway, where do all these different Shitos hold that Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim? So Rav Shimon Gamliel Hadamer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that ostrich food is not Muktzah. Who has an ostrich? Only B'nai Malachim have ostriches. So nevertheless, you see that it's not Muksa, because we could all act as if we're B'nai Malachim, as if we would one day own an ostrich. Rabbi Shimon, where does Rabbi Shimon hold Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim? Detanan, B'nai Malachim, Sachan al-Gabi Maksein, Shem and Vered, Shekein Dakam, Shem B'nai Malachim, Lasach Bechol. B'nai Malachim can use Shemen Vered on their wounds, because that's something they would use even in a weekday as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim. Rabbi Shimon says, all Yisrael is B'nai Malachim. So everyone's allowed to rub Shemen Vered on themselves. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Detanya, Haresh Yinoshin Ba'elef Mana. Let's say someone owes somebody else $1,000. V'lovash Itzla Bas Kuf Mana, and he's wearing a garment that's a very expensive garment. So Mashitin Osol Mabishin Osol Itzla Ru'i Elav. So the Tanakhama says, we make him take off that garment, buy a cheaper piece of clothing, and sell that clothing so that he could start paying back his loan. Tanu Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Tanu Mishum Rabbi Kiva, Kol Yisrael Ru'i in Losa Itzla. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva say, no, every Jew is right to wear the fanciest clothing, because every Jew is a Ben Melech, every Jew is a prince. Chavile Kash v'Chavile Zradin. So we went on to discuss Chavile in the Mishnah. So Tanu Rabban, Chavile Kash v'Chavile Yitzim v'Chavile Zradin. Im Eskinu L'machal Behem Metaltel. So if you designate them to be used for animal feed, then they're not Muktzah. V'im Lave in Metaltel. So, but if you have not designated them for animal feed, then they are Muktzah. Rav Shimon Yalomer Chavile Metaltel Biarechon Metaltel. M'shtei Yaday Masel Metaltel. If you can move them with one hand, it's not Muktzah. With two hands, it is Muktzah. Chavile Sia is of a Koranis, different types of food. Hechnisan the eitzim ain mistap, different types of herbs or wood or whatever. Hechnisan the eitzim ain mistapig member Shabbos. If you took them in to be used as wood, so then you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos because it's muksa. L'machal behema mistapig member Shabbos. But if you collected them and brought them in your house to be used as machal behema, then you are allowed to use them on Shabbos. V'kotim biad v'yochel, you're allowed to cut it with your hand and eat it. B'vach liyiktum akli, as long as you don't cut it with a kli. Umolo v'yochel, and you can rub it with your fingers and eat it. B'vach liyimlo b'kli, as long as you don't rub it with a kli. B'kli harbe, many of it, well, a lot of it with a kli. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You could use your fingertips to rub it and eat it. Even with your hand, you shouldn't do too much of it. The same way you would do during a weekday. So my amisa, what is amisa? Ninya, it's ninya. Sia, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, tsasri. Ezov, what's ezov? Abarsa. Kuranis, Kornisa Shema. Kuranis is something called Kuranis. It's called Kornisa. Vahu damar l'man bayi Kornisa v'shtaka chashi. But didn't someone once go around selling Kornisa, and it turned out that what he was selling was chashi. So you see, it's not just something called Kornisa. Ella, rather, the way to say it is Sia Tsasri, Ezov is our Barsa, and Kornisa, chashi. Fine, we're just identifying these different meanings, but again, the translations are probably no more meaningful to us than the original words, so we just read through it. Idmar, Basam Maliach Mutzel Tatal B'Shabbos, salted meat. Is not muktzah. You're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. Basar tafel, rafun amar mutal tatalo, rafchis amar asal tatalo. Unsalted meat, machlokas amar rayim, whether it's muktzah or not. Rafun amar mutal tatalo. Rav Huna says mutar be metaltel, for Rav Huna talmud the Rav have. But wait a second, wasn't Rav Huna talmud of Rav? For Rav Kravidus really this like muktzah, and Rav holds of Rav Yehuda's expanded definition of muktzah, and therefore this should be muktzah. Why are you allowed to be metaltel it? So be muktzah la'achila savor l'Rav Yehuda, be muktzah la'taltel savor l'Rav Shimon. When it comes to muktzah la'achila, he takadaz hold like Rav Yehuda, meaning when it comes to the isur muktzah regarding food, regarding eating, he holds like Rav Yehuda that you're not allowed to eat it. But when it comes to handling it, he holds like Rabbi Shimon that you are allowed to handle it. You're just not allowed to eat it. Rav Chis Tomer also letaltelo. So Rav Chis said you're not allowed to be metaltelit. For Rav Yitzchak Barami ikla lever Rav Chis. But once Rav Yitzchak Barami went to Rav Chis's house, v'chaza hu bar avza davakam metaltelim misham shalutula, and he saw that he was carrying a goose from the sun to the shade. V'amar Rav Chista, Chesrum Kiska Chazin Nahacha. And Rav Chista says, I see that this is a money loss, meaning you leave it in the sun, it's gonna get ruined. So therefore, you're allowed to move it from the sun to the shade. So apparently, he said that it's mutter to move this unsalted meat from the sun to the shade, the goose meat, the duck meat, whatever it is, from the sun to the shade. So Shiny Baravza the Chazilumsa. No, that's different. That's a specific type of meat that even when it's raw, you could suck on it. It still has value. It's still somehow one could eat it in a normal way, even when it's raw. Says Tosfos, the Chazi Lumtza mikan raya the dam hay varmish shlo pirish mutter to come into Chazi Lumtza avagav vil maliach. Frak Tosfos, wait a second. How can it be? Maybe the meat is raw to eat when it's raw, but isn't there an isra of dam if you haven't salted it? How did you extract the dam? So how are you allowed to eat a midin the dam? So Tosfos says, no, dam is only a problem if the dam has left its original location. That's when you're not allowed to eat dam. But if the dam remains in its original spot, I guess the assumption is at the shechita, all the dam rushes to the makam shechita. And that's why we need to do melicha on an animal to remove that dam that has left its original spot. All the circulatory blood goes to the makam shechita to try to fill it up, right? That's where it all spills from. So that's why we have an issur of dam. But if you have dam that's in its original location, then it's not a problem. Tan Rabbanan, Dag Maliach Mutal Tatalo, Dag Tafel Asal Tatalo. When you have salted fish, it's not muksa. When you have unsalted fish, it is muksa. Basar, but meat, Bein Tafel Bein Maliach Mutal Tatalo. Salted or unsalted, it's not muksa. So Tan Rabbanan, Metaltan Asatam, Smeshu Machal Klavim. You're allowed to be metaltal bones because that's dog food. Basar Tafuach, Smeshu Machal Chaya. You could have spoiled meat, you could be a metaltal, because that's food for a chaya. Mayim Magulin, water that was left exposed, that was left uncovered, because a cat could eat it, so therefore it's not muksa. What do you do with mayim magulin in your house? You can't have mayim magulin in your house. That's a sakana. So you can't even leave it around your house at all because of the issue of sakana. Good, new Mishnah. You're allowed to turn over a basket in front of little birds so that they can climb up on the basket and go down from wherever they're going using the basket as a step. If a chicken runs away, so you're allowed to push it toward the chicken coop to get it back in. And you're allowed to schlep along a little bit by holding on to the animal itself. And a woman can hold her child's hand or his arms and help him walk as he's trying to walk, even in Rosh Hashanah. That's only if the child at least is moving his feet, picks up one foot and then the other foot and the other foot, like a normal walking motion. But if you're just schlepping it, then it's going to be asr, because then you end up carrying, and that's you're not allowed to carry. So Amar Rabbi Damarav, behema shenafal lamas hamayim. If you have a behema that falls into a stream of water, maybe karmuk sasos meniach tachteha, you could bring cushions or anything else to put underneath the animal, the im also salsa, so that the animal could use it as a step to climb up out of the stream of water. So meisvei asked the Gemara, behema shenafal lamas hamayim also la parnasa mimakam b'shul shlo tamos. But didn't we learn that if you have a behema that's stuck in the stream of water, you just have to keep feeding it and throwing down food to it, but there's nothing else you could do. You just said try to keep it alive. Parnasa in karmuk sasos slow. We see that, yeah, you could be mefarnes it, but you're not allowed to put karmuk sasos in. You're not allowed to put cushions there, so you can use it as a step to get out. So how can we say that you are allowed to? So lokasha, hada efshab parnasa, hadi efshab parnasa. It depends. If you have another option, if you're able to sustain it by giving it food in that location, good. Much better to do that than to put karmuk sasos that it's going to climb on. If you're unable to sustain it, then you are allowed to put karmuk sasos efshar parnasa in v'lo, and if it's not efshar parnasa, maybe karmuk sasos meniach tachteha. How can you do that? How can you put karmuk sasos under it? Isn't that called being mevatel kli meichano? It's going to climb up on the karmuk sasos, and then the karmuk sasos are going to be immobilized for the rest of Shabbos. So it says, "Mar sav mevatel kli meichano drabanan tzar balechayim dal raisa v'asi dal raisa v'dachi drabanan." Being mevatel kli meichano is a problem on a drabanan level. Tzar balechayim is a problem on a dal raisa level. So therefore, the dal raisa beats out the drabanan. The Tzar Bal Chaim Doraisa beats out the issue Midrabanan. Now this Tzar Bal Chaim, it's interesting. Is this with the issue of Tzar Bal Chaim? Are we talking about the Isser of Tzar Bal Chaim? Are you causing Tzar Bal Chaim? You walked by, you saw a stream. There's an animal in the stream. You didn't do anything. You didn't put the animal in the stream. You're not causing the Tzar Bal Chaim. So that's what the Ramban points out. That even though the Tzar is not made by a person, he's not the cause for it, it still counts as a consideration min haTorah. So the consideration of Tzar Bal Chaim is not necessarily the Isser of Tzar Bal Chaim, it's the fact that Tzar Bal Chaim is happening. It's the allowing it to happen. So it doesn't have to be, the Kashuglover points out, in the Tshuva, in Eretz Tzvi, that tzar b'lechayim is not only when you are gorim the tzar, but min haTorah you try to be mesalik the tzar as well. You have to try to remove the tzar. Where do we learn tzar b'lechayim? You say it's daraisa. If it's daraisa, there's got to be a pasuk. So where's the pasuk? So Rashi says pasuk is azov tazov imo. The Meiri is in Bab Metzilah Beis and Beis says pasuk is losachsum shor b'disho, meaning to say there are lots of different psukim that are rooted in the idea that you're not supposed to cause suffering to an animal, even though they don't specifically say don't cause any suffering. They talk about specific examples, but they're rooted in the idea of not causing suffering to an animal. Sefer Hasidim says it's based on Bilam. It says, Al-Mahi Kisa Sasoncha. Apparently, you're not allowed to normally hit your donkey. So that's where we learn it from. I think Rav Asher Weiss has a piece where he goes through 14 different possibilities of what the source of Tzar B'Lechai Midaraisa is. And he says, what you see from there is that none of those possibilities are really all that strong, but when you have 14 different possibilities that all point in the same direction that we're not supposed to cause suffering to animals, that shows you that it's Ratzon HaTorah. That the Ratzon HaTorah is that we should not cause tzar to animals. And Ratzon HaTorah is a Mechayiv Midaraisa, similar to the way the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drash is, that would be a Mechayiv Midaraisa. Is there a din of Tzar B'Lechayim by a human being? The Chavos Yoyer in some Kuf Tzad Yal says, by an Adam there's no din Tzar B'Lechayim, because, and don't say, he says, that Kol Shekein Tzar of an Adam, because it could be that we're only makran and Tzar B'Lechayim of a behema, because it doesn't have das, so it doesn't have the ability to be sovel anything, whereas a person has more tolerance because a person has das. However, Chavos Yoyer says the Shor Mitzion Balacha, Ishtamitei Divrei HaRashba. The Rashba writes in his Tshuvas, in Reishon Beis, in Reishon Zayin, that there is a din of Tzar B'Lechayim by Adam as well. That's also a violation for, in addition to whatever other violation you have by causing people Tzar, you're also going to have a violation of Tzar B'Lechayim when causing human being Tzar. We have a lot more to say, but let's go weiter. Tanugola Shabarcha. So if you have a Tanugola that runs away, Dochen in Medadin Lo. So apparently you're allowed to push it a little bit, but you're not allowed to actually schlep it along. So Tanina Lo Hatan Rabbanu Medad Mehem Achayiv Auf Bechatzer Avalos Hatanugola. So to be medad the behema chayva of, but not a tarnagolas. Tarnagolas my time below. Why not? I'm right mishum the mekafi nafsha, because it's going to be stubborn. It's going to try to stay where it is. Tani chada medad behema chayva of bechatzer avelo bereshus harab. Meaning it will fly off the ground. I mean it's going to pick itself up. So you can end up carrying it if you try to move it. So tani chada medad behema chayva of bechatzer avelo bereshus harabim veisha medad es bino bereshus harabim veitzorach lo bechatzer. But when a woman, when it comes to her child, she's allowed to schlep her child along in a Rishus Rabbim, and obviously in the Chatzar as well. V'tan Yidach, but we have another Braisa, Einokin Behem Chayvav B'Chatzar, Aval Dochem Ben Sheikansu. You can't lift up a Behem Chayvav in the Chatzar, but you can push them until they go where you want. Hagu V'Kasha, Amrit Einokin Aval Didudi Medadinan. Hadar Amrit Dochen in Medadin Lo. It's a stira. Can you be Medade? Can you lift it up a little bit, pick it up by its arms as you and help schlep it along? So Amr Abai, Seifa Asalim Tarnagolas. The Sefer must be talking about a Tarnagolas where that's going to be Asr, because it could always lift itself off the ground and you're going to end up carrying. Amar Abaye, Haiman deshach Tarnagolas. If you're shechting a Tarnagolas, lichveshinu lekare ba'ara. You should either bury its feet in the ground so that it can't move, it will be completely immobilized, inami nedelu medal, or lift it up off the ground so that it can't dig its heels into the ground. Sometimes the animal will dig its feet into the ground and then it's going to ruin the whole shechita. It's going to be okre the simanim. Mishnah, ein miyaldin es habehema biyomtov. You're not allowed to be miyalid an animal on yantiv, to birth an animal on yantiv. Avu mesadin molidin es ha'isha b'shabbos, but you're allowed to birth a woman on Shabbos. And you can get a midwife to come from one place to another. And you can be mechal Shabbos to help a woman give birth. We could tie the umbilical cord. We can cut the umbilical cord too. And that's going to lead us into the next parak of Rabbi Elazar de Mila, which Bezos Hashem we start on Sunday. So you're allowed to cut the you're allowed to do any tzarche mila on Shabbos. Ketzad mesadin. What does it mean to be mesai, to help along a woman on Shabbos in the giving birth? Rabbi Yudamar Ochiz es haflat shalipa la'aretz. It means catch the baby so it doesn't fall on the ground. Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Dochik Basar Kadei Sheyetze Havlad, to push down on the belly to push the baby out. Tani Kavas Yudar Yuda Ketzad Mesadin Ochiz es haflat shalipa la'aretz v'nofeach lo b'chotmo, and blow air into his nostrils v'nosel lo dud l'toch piv kadeshinok, and put the udder for an animal into the mouth of the baby so that it will nurse. Amr Mashumma Rachmaninu al Behematar Yomtov. We'd have Rachmanas on a kosher animal on Yantiv. Hey Chiyavin, what we do? Not have Rachmanas, we'd set it up that the mother would have Rachmanas on its offspring on Yantiv. So what would we do to make such an arrangement? Amr Rabbi, maybe Bul Shal Melech Maniach LaBetoch HaRechem. We would take a block of salt and put it inside the rechem of the mother. Kadeshatiskar Tsara V'Terachim Lov. So we'll remember the birthing process and we'll have Rachmanas on its offspring. Umezalfen Meshili Al Gabe Vlad. And we'll take some of the placenta and we'll sprinkle that on the Vlad. Kadeshatariach Recha V'Terachim Lov. So that the mother will smell it and have Rachmanas. V'Davka Torah V'Tamei Lo. But only a kosher animal, not a non-kosher animal. My time, Tamei Lo Merach Vlada. V'Merach Vlada Lo Mikrava. A Behemoth Tamei doesn't distance its Vlad, and if it does, it's never coming back anyway. So it's either unnecessary or it's useless to try to do this with a behemah tamea. Miyaldin as isha, we said you could be miyaldin an isha on Shabbos. So michti tanali miyaldin as isha v'karon lechacham makom makom mechalin as Shabbos lasu yemai. Once you say you could be miyaldin, and you could even call lechacham to come makom makom. So what are we adding when we say you could be mechal Shabbos to help a woman give birth? Lasu yehad tan rabbanim. I said tzrich lener chavir to madakas laser. If she says she needs a ner, then someone else could light a candle in the room. If she says she needs oil, someone could carry oil. If you can't schlep it all by hand, you could bring it in your hair. If you can't bring it all in your hair, you could bring it in a kli. If you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, obviously it means you're allowed to light a candle for her. What's the chiddush? Even though the woman is blind, I might think, since she doesn't see anyway, just tell her, you little kid, right? You might think that it's aser. No, it calms her to know that it's lit. Apparently, you can't just tell her. Lying is not an option, apparently, that to tell her that the candle is lit. I guess she would smell the fire. Because it puts her mind at ease to know that if there's something that whoever is helping her out, that they're able to see clearly to take care of all of her needs. And that's considered a tzorech for the birthing woman on Shabbos. Even if the doctor doesn't think he really needs a candle, he could do it with his eyes closed. Doctors sometimes say that, but we try not to test them on that. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, five lines on the bottom.